This is Pastor Jeff Chavis. I'm the pastor of Church Online, an online community of faith that you can find at churchonline.com, but we spell that uniquely, C-H-R-C-H, churchonline.com. We say all that's missing is you. I've got a question for you this morning. We talk a lot about being in the world, but not of the world. But let me ask you, are we tourists or are we something else? There is this thought process. In fact, Jesus prayed this in John chapter 17, verses 15 and 16. He prayed for his disciples and us, and he says, "I am not praying that you would take them out of the world, but that you would protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world." So we don't belong to this world. When we are followers of Jesus, we have a new destination. And it is the late Pastor Tim Keller who said, there's really three ways to look at this. An individual who is in a place, but not of the place. Those people are either, number one, they're tourists, which means they're just passing through. They're here to see the sights and maybe stay in a hotel and eat some in some restaurants, but really this is not their home. They don't know what's happening in the news. They don't know what's going on. Generally, they're just within their own tourist communities, and they really don't even interact with the natives, tourists. The second category is immigrants. Oh, they've left everything behind, and they've come to settle in this new land. Generally speaking, they do not intend to return. And I'll tell you, that's not our category as Christians. We're definitely not immigrants because we have a destination. An immigrant is here to stay. They're going to get jobs. They're going to get involved in the culture. The third area, and this is the biblical mandate, the idea is that of being an exile. What does that mean? Someone who is in exile. That means a person who is in another land and they're coming to a new land. Generally, there's some maybe safety, security in the new land. Think of refugees during a time of war. They're going to come here. Maybe they're going to get jobs and maybe they're going to get homes, but they're staying for a time. But ultimately, they know this is not the end of the story. This is just a stopping place on their way back to that land. Now, this obviously is what we are called to do. In fact, that's the use that Peter and Paul both use in the scripture. I'm going to read to you from 1 Peter chapter 2, 11 and 12. It says, "Dear friends, I urge you as strangers and exiles to abstain from sinful desires that wage war against the soul. Conduct yourself honorably among the Gentiles, so that when they slander you as evildoers, they will observe your good works and will glorify God on the day that he visits." So there's the phrase, "dear friends." And when Peter uses the phrase, "dear friends," he's talking to other believers in Christ. And he says that you are strangers and exiles. Strangers meaning you don't belong to this place. Exiles mean that you are here for a temporary period of time. But we know, as Jesus said, we're in the world, but we're not of the world, just as he was not of the world. There is a larger destination in mind. Now, I love the way C.S. Lewis says this. This is in his book, Mere Christianity. And this gets quoted a lot, but I want you to think about it in these terms. C.S. Lewis says, "If we find ourselves with a desire that nothing in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that we were made for another world." There's something about us. When Christ takes hold of you, you get this idea, this heartfelt place that you long for, that there's something else, that you have a desire for a land that maybe you've never been to before. Maybe that means that you were made for somewhere else. It is in that moment that we recognize we are exiles. We are here for a time, an extended period of time, but we're not here forever. There's another destination in mind. Again, the question is tourists. Immigrant is not an option. We're not here to stay. It's tourist or it's exile. Unfortunately, I feel like many of us in church circles, we often tend to act like we're tourists. Like, we're just here for a temporary amount of time. Really doesn't matter what happens here at all. And we don't really even want to get involved in anything to do with the world. I think maybe in terms of those other cultures and those other beliefs that say we just need to totally separate ourselves, have nothing to do with this world. But that's not our place either. And Paul and Peter both used the term exile. We're here for now, and there's somewhere else we're destined for. So how do we live in this world? Remember, we don't get dual citizenship. Again, that's another way that I see Christians act sometimes, that we're not split between this world and the next world. We belong to the kingdom of God. We have a different king. We have a different set of rules. And yes, that's going to make us look a little different. But let's go back into the text again. He says, as strangers and exiles, number one, he tells us, abstain from sinful desires that wage war against the soul. There's that thing within us. And in the nation of Israel, they certainly understood this over and over, living as exiles in different places. There's a desire for the things in this world that are hard for us to pass up. But Peter says, no, abstain from that stuff. And yes, there is a war against our soul. But then he tells us to live honorably among the Gentiles. We're going to hold back from sin. We're going to live a different way. We're going to conduct ourselves honorably. And I love the way he says it, so that when they slander you as evildoers, they will observe your good works and will glorify God on the day that he visits. So there will be slandering by the natives because, well, we really don't look like we fit into the culture. And that's the way it's supposed to be. But it's this other part that's so significant. They will observe your good works. And there's a phrase there that's used, the good works or the good life that we're supposed to display among the Gentiles, among those who belong to this land. And that is, the phrase is good works. It can also be translated better works. It can also be translated beautiful. The beautiful works, the beautiful life. Jesus uses the same phrase when the woman anoints his feet with oil. And he says, what she has done is a beautiful thing. It could be good. She's done a good thing. She's done a better thing. But no, the way that it's termed is she's done a beautiful thing. And that's the reality of the life that you and I are supposed to live while we're here in this world. A beautiful life. A good life, a better life, yes, of course, but it's a beautiful life. We're not supposed to be tourists, definitely not supposed to be immigrants like we belong and fit in well. We're supposed to look a little different, but we're not supposed to look weird, strange, confronting other people about their culture. Instead, we're supposed to live, and Peter will use that phrase later, that people are supposed to see our good works and ask about this life that you have. What compels you to live this beautiful life? What compels you to live the way you do? And then that opens the door to our primary responsibility, telling people about our King. So I just want to challenge you with that one today. Number one, are you a tourist or are you an exile? Are you living like you are just passing through? Or is there a purpose? And you want to live a life in front of the people of this culture that makes them ask why. That's an exile. And are we living that beautiful life that people want to know what we have? We're living a life so free from the shackles that the rest of the world seems to have hanging on them that people are going to ask us about who we are, who we follow, who is our King.